Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
Just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us, at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter at podcastrotr. That's podcastrotr.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm, and continuing on to Justice League, Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU podcast and subscribe today. Hello, hey, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots, continuing our coverage of Robot Wars Series 4 with Heat C.
C.
So Heat C starts off with Craig Charles talking about extreme sports.
Yeah, and then kind of transitions into talking about his nan or something.
I think that's later on. No, I think it's Jonathan Pierce that starts talking about his nan.
Ah, right.
Yeah, he starts. It's something to do with the morgue, because the morgue uses hospital
bed
equipment.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
We will jump straight into our first match.
Yes. So we start with, from Swansea, the morgue,
which is a yellow cylindrical robot with a lifter / front spikes.
From Leamington Spa, Scar.
Which I can't decide if it's armoured in metal or if it's actually armoured in plastic painted to look like metal.
Yeah.
It does.
I know, it's a weird robot.
It has quite an interesting weapon system. So what it's doing is it's got, it's invert, so it's effectively, it's like a kind of slightly less tall version of S3. The difference being, what it actually does is effectively, by the sound of it, the weapon can run both ways up. So basically, if they get turned over, they can turn the flipper the other way, the spinner the other way, so that
spinner,
they're not slamming themselves into the ground.
Interesting.
It's a great idea. It doesn't really work, but it's an interesting enough idea.
Apparently, at one point, Scar was owned by Craig Danby.
Oh, wow. It certainly has the reliability of a Danby bot.
Yeah. It's been sold multiple times, so... Scar found himself in possession of John Finlay from Team Roaming Robotics. Scar was later sold to Craig Danby and then to Tony Smith. In 2013, it was sold again to Jimmy McHarg.
Right.
As of September 2015, Scar is now in the possession of Dave Laurie from Team Die Gracefully Robotics. So okay. Scar has like changed hands multiple times.
It's the village bicycle of Robot Wars.
Sounds up. That was interesting. And from County Durham, seeded number 5, Firestorm 2.
Which is very much the difficult second album. So this robot, it's a similar idea to last year. It's slightly changed in that they've got rid of the belt and they've given it a bigger flipper. It's still not really in its final form, though. It still has a bit of work to do.
Yeah. But it's nearly there.
And apparently they're having some weight issues.
Yeah, because they definitely needed to... They said that they needed to change out batteries for smaller batteries and then change some balls from metal balls to plastic balls. And then Julia makes a grabbing balls joke or something.
Yeah, again, it's kind of... I mean, I miss it. This at a time that Farscape was on the telly at an early time, so I can understand them allowing a couple of risque jokes, but still, man, damn.
Damn. Yeah, I mean, we had Cluck off last week, and then there was Clucking. One of those. Then there was one of those announcements that for Craig Charles' intro, where it's like, allegedly, he's going commando. It's Craig Charles.
Yeah. So
a lot of kids watching that don't know what going commando means are going to be turning to their parents, going, "What does going commando mean?"
This match is very. It's again, it's similar to the kind of Chaos match in that it's two robots that are hopelessly outmatched against a flipper that's just chucking them around.
The note that comes up on Scar's sort of facts and figures says Scar wants to smash up Hypnodisc, and then it just went, well, tough.
Yeah.
Why don't you get a weapon that works then? Because I seen that weapon going in this match and it did not look like it would even break skin.
Yeah, so it's... What happens is, Scar's already having issues. Thankfully for Scar, what ends up happening is, before Scar can be counted out, Firestorm gets the morgue over and against a wall, which means that the morgue goes out, even though it's clear that Scar is dying.
Oh, it was struggling to no end.
And I was sitting there going, but I don't remember Scar. I remember the morgue getting... And then, well, we found out what
that... I thought that as well, actually. I was like, wait, what?
I was like,
I guess Scar had to pull out and Marg get reinstated.
Well, that's exactly what happens, but not yet.
Yeah, because they really give it some time before bringing up the fact that Scar's out.
So,
yeah, as of this moment, the Marg is out, Scar and Firestorm 5 go through.
Yep.
There was nothing to this other than the flip from Firestorm. You know, just perfectly flipping the morgue so that when it rolls over, it kind of bounced off the wall, therefore meaning it can
self-right. Yeah.
And that was about it from this match. Nothing really else of note. So we'll quickly move on to the second triple threat, where we start off with the return of, from Somerset, Ming 2.
So, Ming 2, now a different setup. Instead of the wedge with a giant saw last time, it is now a T-shaped robot with a nose cone and a flipper.
Yeah, I always feel like the flipper is in a very weird position.
Yeah, it's a bit like... Firestorm kind of has one of these issues where it's... There's a certain percentage of the robot has to get onto the flipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's got the front scoop bit, but then you then need to have the robot continuing that momentum onto the top for the flip to work.
Aye.
It's very, very odd. And then, like, the way that when they're doing the kind of here's my robot thing, like, he's like, oh, it can run upside down as well. And it's like, yes, but if it runs upside down, then that means that the flipper is completely out of play. From the Lake District, Bolt from the Blue.
Which is a wedge robot with a, I believe, does this have a rear hinged flipper?
So it sort of goes up instead of coming out. So it's going the opposite way of Firestorm's would.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also very low to the ground, like, impressively low to the ground.
Yeah, and then on when they were sort of introducing the robot, I made the note that this is what Maggie Simpson's arch enemy grew up to do, was build Bolt from the Blue.
Oh, is it Monobrow?
Oh.
There is nothing wrong with having a monobrow as long as you shave it. Handel's own monobrow.
Oh dear.
Oh no, I shave it. It's fine.
We go backstage. Well, I suppose we should probably introduce him first. That would help, wouldn't it?
Yes.
From Ireland, Diator.
I don't know what they did, but someone doesn't like them this series. They have so much bad luck.
Oh, it's brutal.
Right, amongst the things that happen, one, the speed control is broken as they were just preparing to leave out. Even if you didn't have that, the robot's currently overweight, which they don't tell you until afterwards, and that's why it doesn't have its top up. Three, whatever's happened, the weapon system is not currently working, so it has no self-righting, no top armor. Ironically, the no-top armor does mean it can kind of run upside down, but not really. And it is in a complete and utter... Like, it doesn't even come out in its normal regalia. It comes out with the... They've just taken the top off the robot.
Pretty much. It's a bit of a state, I must admit. Like, and it's heartbreaking that shit like this needs to happen 2 years in a row to them. And even, you know, the annoying thing is, like, last year, where they had to put together a robot in 24 hours, and it still managed to work a hell of a lot better than this one did.
Yeah.
And this one had been working fine, essentially, until that last bit they needed changed that caused everything else to break down. So, yeah, this was not a long match. Essentially, activate hits, and then both Bolt from the Blue and Ming kind of double-team pincer attack Diator. Boom, it goes up and over quickly, and then... It drives around upside down for a long time over the flames and doesn't catch fire.
Yeah, it takes a while to catch.
And then, mercifully, it's put out of its misery quickly.
Now, Diator is out. Apparently, what did happen is because they were rushing around to fix the speed controller, they didn't have time to fully gear up the self-righting mechanism. So apparently, it could have self-righted... But they didn't manage to get it fitted in time because they had the problem with the... So that's how bad it went, is they actually ran out of time to fix the robot properly.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I know, and it didn't help that it just got pincer attacked as well. Like, it was already going into this match with the walking wounded, and it lasted all of about 10 seconds.
Yep.
After all of that effort...
I mean, I have to say, Nemesis isn't coming back from this. It's not going to have any sort of glory in its return in Series 5.
Well, Nemesis won't, but Diator, mate.
Yeah, I suppose, you're right.
So we'll move on to the Pinball Warrior Challenge. This week, we're getting a look at Spikosaurus.
Which is one of my favourite one-off robots.
One-off?
It only does one series.
Really?
Yeah, Spikosaurus only appears in this series, including the Annihilator.
No way. Like, I remember Spikosaurus more than I remember a hell of a lot of other robots. And
no, Spikosaurus is a one-and-done series robot.
That is nuts.
Yep.
Why'd I remember it so vividly?
Because its one appearance that it does make is incredible. It's one kind of really good performance.
Oh, if I remember correctly, in its heat, I think I was watching this like a while ago, and then I started texting you ranting about it. But anyway, like that's, maybe I didn't. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's for later in the season anyway, because I think he gets a bit dicked out and it's a qualifier.
Oh, absolutely. I know what you mean. Yes, it is.
But anyway, that's for later on in the season.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
This This was a completely underwhelming run, despite the fact that there was an absolute clear road to the 50-point buffer from, Sergeant Bash's buffer. And he, like, Bash kind of moved out the way, and all they needed to do was drive backwards. They would have drove right into it, but they drove the other way. And then it finally gets the car door, and then just misses out in the 50-point buffer as time expires. So if they were able to get that first 50-point buffer from Bash, and then the other one,
they would have been
top. And the one from Matilda, yeah, because they got 40 points overall.
Yep.
So they would have potentially have done it. Absolutely. But nevertheless, they only got 40, and they are sitting not well at the bottom of the ranking so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi guys, Alan
and Chris
here with a slight break from the main show. Just to say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So we've had Deator being disappointing, Spikosaurus being disappointing. Now we're going to get Firestorm being really disappointing, even though its opponent gets trash-talked by Craig Charles.
Oh, man. This was just a whole weird segment of television.
Yes.
The whole thing. As you say, yeah, like, Bolt from the Blue or they're back, which again, like, probably leads to some of the saltiness that happens.
Yeah.
Because, like, Craig Charles running past and just bawling at Bolt from the Blue saying, "Oh, this is nothing.
Chance.
Yeah, you're going to get thrashed."
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. Just, right. It was odd to begin with. Then the match happened where nothing happened. Bolt from the Blue got one near flip, and that was essentially it.
Well, what happens? It's basically Bolt from the Blue is so low to the ground, Firestorm can't get underneath it.
Yeah.
So it basically comes down to Bolt from the Blue, right? The only damage isn't a factor because Nyla Robot gets taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Bolt from the Blue does get more flips in and gets underneath more times, but Firestorm's
with that one flip.
They got a couple of close flips as well. There's a couple of times it got underneath and it didn't quite get Firestorm flip, but it came close.
Yeah, but he only done that like once, maybe twice. And like there wasn't a lot of that either.
The issue is that tactically what Bolt from the Blue does is it sits in the center and basically rotates around as Firestorm tries to drive around it to get underneath it.
It kind of defends itself as opposed to attacking, so Firestorm is going to win the aggression points on that.
So it basically comes down to, it's basically control, aggression, and style.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to Firestorm 2. Maybe a little lucky.
Oh, a lot lucky, I would say. Even when Firestorm themselves were interviewed after the match, they were like, "I think, see if that one flip where they flipped us up, see if they got us over, they probably would have won." And then, you know, there's saltiness, and then more salt gets poured on that because Craig Charles turns around to Team Bolt from the Blue, and they're like, "Oh yeah, so, I mean, like, You couldn't really do much to them, could you?" And then they were like, "Yeah, but they couldn't do any to me either." And it's like, "Ah, well, yeah, like that's just kind of how it happens sometimes. Like, are you going to come back for next season?" It's like, "I don't know, maybe."
It's very much, he's very raw. I think he's feeling, "Oh no, we won that match," and then they didn't. And I think
Charles kind of standing there holding the on the wrist, and then when he raised like Firestorm's hand, like you seen him kind of lean over and look at them like, "Are you fucking serious?"
Yeah, I get the impression that maybe his attitude is, "Oh no, he got they just kind of bullied the seed through effectively.
Well, yeah, because then we get the interview with Firestorm, but then Julia then goes back and speaks to Team Bolt from the Blue again. Because, like, after Firestorm won, the crowd started booing.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
I think it's a difficult one to argue. It's a close run thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, Julia then goes back and interviews Team Bolt from the Blue and James Proctor, I think it was, as the captain. And it was like, oh, yeah. So she was like, oh, so the crowd were booing at the end of that fight, thinking, like, you should have won. And they were like, yeah, because the crowd are right. We should have won. We were robbed. And it's like, well, you didn't win. So what do you think happened? In the eyes of the judges to pick Firestorm and go through. And he was like, it's probably because they were seeded.
Yeah, but it is. I don't think it's surprising that I don't think we see Bolt from the Blue again.
Well, unless you play the Robot Wars official board game, you'll see Bolt from the Blue in every game.
Absolutely.
Because that is the...
The one claim to fame it has.
Exactly.
Yep.
What a weird fucking lineup of robots for that game.
Yeah, who are the robots?
Yeah, both from the Blue. You've got both from the Blue.
Cassius Free.
Well, no, I don't think it is Cassius Chaos
2, but it's Cassius Free.
It does look like Cassius Free. I think you've got what I'm assuming is Razor, Suicidal Tendencies, I think, and then Destructibubble. And, okay, so it says here, Panic Attack, Chaos 2, Razor, Bolt from the Blue, Destructibubble. That's only five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I think number 6 is meant to be like Suicidal Tendencies or something.
And we'll see. We might see one of those other robots appear. We'll see.
Yeah, very weird kind of choice of robots. But yeah, Bolt from the Blue never comes back. And one of the other little tidbits is in 2017, Jim Proctor's wife posted on Reddit sharing an image of a Bolt from the Blue birthday cake that she made him for his birthday, which states on it that hashtag still bitter. So I guess all these years later, he is still probably bringing that up. Like, remember that time I was on Robot Wars and I got cheated?
Do you think the cake was maybe a little salty?
Yeah, I assume that, like, he got handed the cake and then she dumped a bag of salt over him.
Yeah. Anywho.
It genuinely makes me wonder, if he still has Bolt from the Blue and, like, in like a shed and goes out at night sometimes and goes and just shouts at it. Well, that was the very short and uninspiring run that is Bolt from the Blue. But that saltiness was excellent television, because I put my notes. I actually kind of fully agree with Bolt from the Blue, but seeing the fact that he just was such a dick about it made me kind of glad that he lost.
It's another one, it's a bit like another situation we talked about recently where we were sitting and going, yeah, this person has the right of it, but they're a dick, so F them.
Yeah, they have the right about it, but they're going the wrong way about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Scar versus Ming 2 doesn't happen because Scar's gearbox blew up and they can't get it going again.
Yep.
So, the Marg gets reinstated.
Which I think is an interesting choice. I don't know. With the argument, there have been some people argued, oh, you just put Ming 2 through, but okay.
Or, I mean, they always seem, would they always seem to the do
battle
that.
Battlebots tactic.
Yeah. But I would say in Robot Wars, they always do something along these lines of, like, reinstating and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Morg gets in, which is great for the Morg, and...
But the other thing is, like, does the Morg have a gearbox? Could they not maybe loan that to Scar to keep going since the Morg was out anyway?
It depends. What you'll probably find is the gearbox will be very specific.
Right, okay.
Well, that's a very specific part. Look, it's a part that probably... a gearbox could, there's a high chance that could be customized.
See, this is clearly goes to show about how little I know about this kind of stuff that I asked that. And I bet you, like, if any, like, roboteer that knows even the slightest thing about gearboxes, like, that was a fucking stupid question you just asked.
it's probably
because I know literally nothing of it.
It'll be very specific to the type of power, the, you know, it's, there's so many things that could, there's so many things that could be a factor, yeah.
So, the Marg is reinstated, and before the fight, we get story time with the driver of Ming 2. He says, go on.
Which, yeah, I think this is a really phenomenal bit of interview, and I actually wish that they'd somehow managed to get these two robots to fight each other.
Oh, well, yeah, because I've kind of constructed something out of that, so... What I wrote down was that he tells the story of Team Mortis after they beat Ming last year, and Arthur Chilcock of Team Mortis going up to them and saying, no offense, but I don't understand why they put teams like you up against people like us. So
I'm going to be quite blunt here. Makes me lose a lot of respect for Arthur Chilcock. In all seriousness, like, He always came across as a decent enough guy, and I know he's part of the Shunt Post and that. I have to say, if this is as he's stating it, that's a bit off.
But, I mean, obviously this is also kind of, you know, one person's kind of recollection of the story. Maybe
if it's accurate, which is a big if.
Anyway, so... He says, yeah, so he brought Ming back to prove a point, and let's face it, Ming 2, distinctly better than Ming 1 was, for a start. And then I then went on to make my own grudge match episode, because I wrote that I really wish that there was another grudge match episode, like season 2. And could you imagine the card for that, though? Because you would have, I would put Pussycat versus Razor. Again, then I would have the rematch between Bolt from the Blue and Firestorm, Ming versus Mortis, and then arguably, as we'll get into later, I think a fourth match would potentially be added to that card.
Absolutely.
But we finally get into the Marg versus Ming, where Ming gets a really good flip in on the Marg, and it just plops over on its wheels, but, you know, any less momentum than that thing would have stayed on its back.
Absolutely, but I suppose that's the design of the robot, though. There is one awesome moment where the two robots charge into each other, and at first it looks like they've just locked horns, and then you're looking at, oh no, the Morg has actually pinned itself into Ming. Like, it's actually passed into the wedge, and it's awesome looking.
Yeah, it's got hold of it now.
Unfortunately, the Ming 2 has more pushing power, but that was an awesome moment of, like, ow.
Yeah, but plus, like, you know, damage.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of damage. It's superficial damage, but, like, you know, if this went to the judges, that would have been taken into account. However, it doesn't, because Ming just dies out of nowhere. And then... It's the drive that's gone, so you see, like, all the weapons, like, you see the two pokey sticks coming out of either side, and the flippers flipping and flopping away, but there was just no movement. And then, just like that, Ming is done.
And, unfortunately, Ming 2 will not get to fight Razor.
Mortis.
So, unfortunately, Ming 2 will not be able to fight Mortis, because after this series, Mortis retires.
Yep. Heartbreaking, actually.
Yeah. But hey, at least the Ming team can say, well, we stuck at it longer than you, so we win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, all in all, I'd say Ming probably competed in more seasons than Mortis did.
It objectively did, because it competed, continued competing till beyond Series 7. Well, Season 7, I think, was its last run.
Yeah. So I had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then also Extreme, if you want to count any of that.
Yep, absolutely.
So we get on to the sumo basho before our main event.
Yep.
We get the dumb looking scorpion. I am sorry, but Jesus.
Oh, it is so derpy.
Oh, I hate it.
And thankfully it doesn't last long. It gets caught on the edge and it's out.
Yep, 9.23 seconds it lasted.
And then we get Destructor Bubble.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now, you know how we say that the house robots have personality?
Uh-huh.
Shunt looks confused. There is this moment of Shunt going, What the hell
am I going to do with this?
And to be fair, Destructor Bubble does an awesome job early on.
Yeah, it jukes and jives and kind of it confuses Shunt essentially.
Yeah,
and eventually Shunt manages to catch it.
Yeah,
yeah, it catches it at a point and then just like Destructible just kind of turns around and is like, "Well, bye."
And that leads us on to, so between the two of them, 20 seconds, which I think is the highest combined total so far.
Yeah, because Destructor Bubble went 11.91, so nearly 12 seconds.
Yep, so between them it's 21 seconds between the two of them, I think.
Wow.
Hi guys, Alan.
And the Grizz.
Here with a slight break from the main show. Just to say thanks to the people about whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
As if you thought the last match with Firestorm was controversial.
The Morgue versus Firestorm. One thing I did notice, at one point, the Firestorm team joke about the luck that the Morgue's having, we're going to fall in the pit.
Yes, that's correct. And we predicted the future.
So,
there was one bit when they were also interviewing, it was Firestorm again, actually, and Julia says, "Oh, it's rare to have the same teams fight again in the same heat." And I was like, "But like how Chaos 2 and Atomic did in the first episode."
And I mean, it's the other thing as well, we haven't kind of mentioned this. The Morgue team are lovely. They're just the nicest team.
Yeah, because like they were talking with Team Scar and they were like, "Ah, oh, man, like, we got really pallied." Like, they were saying that they were out for drinks and doing karaoke and all that. And then the one dude's like, "Oh, yeah, we were hanging about them last night. We had a couple of drinks, then a couple more 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 drinks."
Yeah.
And I think sometime around here is when they start telling the story of they visited this old lady.
And stole the... Stole the
motors.
Yeah. And then it was like...
So if you're watching, old lady, we're doing very well.
And Jonathan Pierce runs with it.
Oh, that was also awesome.
Yeah, Jonathan Pierce was like, "Yeah, that was my nan!"
"That old lady, that was my nan."
Yeah.
And then he also says, "Oh yeah, if we don't win, we know where you live, Team Firestorm."
Yeah.
Oh, man. You talk about charisma, man. Like, some people just have it.
Absolutely. So, this match is really one-sided until we get to the end. I mean, it is. It's Firestorm is throwing around the Morgue. It's not able to get trapped underneath this time. It does get a roll.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. A lot of this match was Firestorm trying to position itself deliberately to try and flick up the Morgue. And you could see for the first like minute or so that's what was happening. It was in the way that it tried to get it like kind of half on the flipper so that when the flipper went up it wasn't like full power. And then when it just keeps rolling back over, you see they just get frustrated because there's that one point where they just drive full pelt into the morgue. The morgue goes flying and like rolls right over, like, I think it's Matilda or something like that. But just it rolls so perfectly over it, and it's like, oh, this is Team Firestorm getting a bit frustrated now.
And then we get to the final act, which is Firestorm pushes the morgue onto the pit. Now, morgue, just the way it's set up, I don't know, the flippers up a little bit. It perfectly lands so that the outside of the robot is on the lip of the pit.
It kind of almost unintentionally drives itself on there as well. Like, yeah. Firestorm has the push, but then Firestorm sort of stops and the morgue just continues going. But I think, like, that was like the morgue kind of backing up to trying to, you know, back away from Firestorm, and then it just continued going. And then
what the and then morgue is Firestorm
goes under the lip
to,
of the pit, yeah.
Firestorm kind of tries to push the morgue in, and it falls into the pit itself. Now, this is where it gets controversial.
Very.
Because technically speaking, the morgue is not in the pit.
In the pit.
It is, however, unable to move.
Mm-hmm. And it has 30 seconds to try and show movement, as was mentioned after the fight.
So, here's the thing. Does Firestorm go out before the morgue? Now, the judges yes. go... Now, the judge. Now, here's the thing. What the judges say is, well, what we're just going to do is we're just going to judge the fight because...
Up until that point,
because it's almost like they go, well, both robots were out.
But no, only one of them was out.
Now, here's
the problem. And that was Firestorm.
Right. Okay. I thought you might go down this line, so I am going to put it this way.
Okay, no, like, no, this is perfect, because I
you
wanted
exactly
to look at it from every
angle.
You know
exactly what I'm about to say, don't you?
I wanted to look at it from every angle, but I am just giving my honest opinion here. But go
okay.
on.
Was Tornado in the pit in Series 6?
Yes.
Then Morgue was in the pit.
However, distinct difference.
No.
Yes.
Both of them had the same thing, which was they were too big to actually fit in the pit.
That's not true.
No, the morgue. The morgue was in the pit. Its wheels were in the pit. It could not drive away.
It drove on the pit, and then 2 seconds later, Firestorm drove into the pit. Who's to say that within the 30 seconds that the morgue was meant to be immobilized, if Firestorm pulled away, that morgue couldn't have got itself unhooked from there?
No, it couldn't have. Its wheels were in the pit.
But it drove onto that pit, so therefore, I would say half the wheels would probably still be on the arena. There could have been a chance. But the thing is, also in the Tornado versus Razor fight...
If the morgue could have got off the pit, wouldn't it have done it in the time it took for Firestorm to get around?
It was all of literally 2 seconds, because morgue backed up, kind of stopped on the lip of the pit, and then Firestorm literally just, like, 360'd itself into the pit. Like,
okay.
There was, like, all of 2 seconds. Like, I mean, Jesus, like, I don't even think, like, the morgue could, the driver of the morgue would have even had the time to realize what was going on to even bother trying to do something to begin with.
Okay.
And that 2 seconds, I mean, I completely get what you're saying again, like, obviously, like, but, and then as they say as well, oh yeah, well, you look down there right now and we see one robot in the pit, one out of the pit, yeah. But that's, and then, like, I also feel like the kind of logic of the judges was a bit dumb in the way that, like, it was like, oh, well, yeah, the pit thing happened, but Firestorm were winning at that point anyway, so they win. And it's like,
I think it's controversial whatever way you do it.
Yeah, that I can agree on.
Because exactly, if you sit on the morgue wins, okay, great, drive away, morgue.
True. However, However, yes, like, that was a... careful, Snackies. But, yeah, true. But it's that kind of thing of, like, right, well, they have 30 seconds to do that. So if within those 30 seconds something happens, like Firestorm goes into the pit, then logically I would say that the Morg wins. But it just almost felt like the judges were like, well, let's just judge it up until that point. It's like, but why?
I suppose the argument the judges have is, well, one of the robots was effectively immobilized and one of the robots was in the pit. So it could be argued, then maybe their argument is, well, since both robots, you know, it's the same idea as if both robots drive into the pit at the same time, is maybe the argument.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And from that aspect, I can understand that. It's just the way that, like, and I can understand that this was a really dodgy situation to be in as a judge. Like, definitely. Yeah. And I think because it was that thing that when Firestorm went into the pit and the Morg started celebrating,
I think
that is what, that is probably the only reason why I am wanting to side with them on this, because they started bouncing about like fucking
the
Welsh team won the World Cup or something like that. Yeah. Like, they were so happy, they were so excited, and that point where Craig Charles had to tell them, you didn't fucking win.
Oh.
And you just seen, like, and even the point where, like, two of them, like, they interviewed two members of the Morg team, and they both said, you look down there and you see one robot in the pit and one out of the pit, so how do you think we feel?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably the only reason why I want to stick with the whole, I think the Morg should have won this.
Absolutely.
But then also, Tornado was in the pit and then Razor didn't drive in 3 seconds later, so there's also that.
Yeah. But as that's the argument. If your argument is Tornado's in the pit, in my opinion, by that definition, so was the Morg.
And I can completely understand that. And I can lean on to agreeing with that as well.
Yeah.
But it's just that kind of thing. It's like, this is where the, you know, the rules of the sport get really muddied, essentially.
Absolutely. I mean, to be fair, the Morg team immediately shake hands. Like, there's no...
Oh, yeah.
It's quite clear the Morg team aren't salty at Firestorm. It's not like the Firestorm team are complaining and they're like, oh, you... Fuck you, then.
Yeah, because then, like, you know, they say their bit, and then they go right back to the whole, we told you we know where you live. We're coming to get you.
Absolutely.
So, like, they went right back into being a pally, and, like, I mean,
sports,
it kind of just goes to show, like, in the same episode, and both were against Firestorm, the two kinds of roboteers there are in the world, they're the ones that saltier than a bag of chips. Yeah. And then there's some that will graciously take defeat, you know, they'll take it on the chin and they'll just come back next year, just have more fun.
Let's get through both, and let's actually try and see if we can remember to do both sections this time. So, the trivia. This is the first and only time that Team Nemesis fell in the first round of the main competition. Both seeds in this heat, Firestorm and Deator, also appeared in the same episode in Series 3.
Huh.
Because that was the final, was Firestorm versus Deator.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
The Morg was the first robot in Robot Wars history to be reinstated after elimination, after which Scar had to retire. Which means that Scar,
yes, that is
true, one of the few undefeated robots in Robot Wars history. And the Morg is one of the few robots to lose twice in a heat of the classic series.
Nice.
No highlights from the two heat finalists' previous battles were shown before the final.
Hmm. Must have been short for time.
In Robot Wars Extreme, Ming-2 would avenge its loss to the Mork.
Oh, hell yeah. Too bad it couldn't avenge its loss to Mortis, but...
This is the only heat in Series 4 where the next episode preview, shown at the end, has Jonathan Pierce not mention the seedings of the two robots, the 7th seed, Steg 2, and the 23rd seed, Mortis.
Interesting.
And four robots in this heat, Firestorm, Deator, the Morgue, and Ming, would be seeded at some point, Firestorm being the only one never to lose in the first round of a UK championship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because Ming doesn't do great in later seasons.
Absolutely not. So.
Best and worst.
Best and worst. So, overperformer, I think it's a difficult one. I would say overperformers maybe the Morgue?
Yeah, that's kind of what I would have to say.
Because it does hit the heat final, but it kind of it hardly barely survives the two first matches it has. It's really struggling at the end of both.
I think it does all right in the Ming fight, to be honest, and it got through quite lucky. I don't know. As I said during that fight, I feel like had it went to the judges, it might have probably snuck by with the victory due to the damage that it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, underperformer.
I would say Firestorm.
Yeah.
Because the difference is this. You can maybe say, oh, it's Deator. The difference is Deator had several reasons to explain why it underperformed.
No, yeah, I agree with that, because you know what? Deator went in that match not a complete robot, so I think it would be very unfair to say, oh, Deator was the worst in this situation. And the fact that, you know, you had two matches in a row with Firestorm, who was a completely sound robot in Series 3, struggling to get through rounds 2 and 3 and having two really, really bad scares of elimination. Yeah, I would probably say Firestorm probably was the... what would be the choice for underperformer.
And as for most improved... Also, we've not been doing Best Newcomer either. So Best Newcomer, the Morgue.
Yeah, it has to be.
And
even if not for the robot, but for the team.
Yeah. Technically,
we're sure as hell not gonna give Best Newcomer a Bolt from the fucking blue.
Yeah. No matter how good the robot is.
Or how good the team claim it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get on to the most improved, I suppose, technically is Firestorm in that it's a complete robot.
Yeah. I mean, most improved in terms of it does distinctly look and definitely works better than it did last year. Its performance in this episode specifically, I don't think is the robot's problem. I think it's everything else surrounding it.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Well, next week we will have, as we mentioned, the return of a certain little robot called Mortis. So that'll be fun.
Yep. And then also the return of Steg to...
Yep. It's not a pushing robot anymore.
It's not a pushing robot with a tiny little tail that didn't do anything.
Yep, absolutely.